Let's Be Legendary podcast is a member of the Nerd and Tie podcast network. For more podcasts ranging from true crime to nerd culture and convention news, please visit nerdandtie.com. Content warnings for this episode include adult language, mature themes, and mild gore.
Trust is a hard thing to come by these days, when the world is going oh so wrong. I trust my people, my soldiers, my comrades, my friends.
Extra, extra! Militia spreads to outskirts of district by order of the Lord Mayor!
I trust my family, my pack.
We're not pack, and we're not family.
I trust the ones I love. I just don't know if I can trust myself.
You can't make that decision for me. This ain't some storybook where we all end up happily ever after. You know I'm the only one you can trust. I know you'll come crawling right back to me. It's just a matter of time.
It's your responsibility to defend what is yours. Stand tall and do not waver.
This is the Feywild West.
This is my realm, my responsibility.
This is our pack, our family.
Let's be legendary.
Having talked with my sister and feeling an actual genuine connection with someone in the Feywild, I do feel a lot better. But as I'm standing there waving goodbye, I look down at myself and again realize what a mess I look like.
Yeah, what were you wearing again?
It's like a simple like sheath dress with maybe like tied at the waist with a little bow and
sweatpants.
Actually, let me start that over. Pajama pants with like SpongeBob on it.
And a stain on your face.
And a tank top and my hair's all done up and my hair just like piled it all on my head and put a rubber band and like a depression bun and called it good. I did try to sharpen myself up a little, but it didn't. Point is, I still look like out garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Reginald?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Do we have any citizens who know about, I don't know, fashion? Styling?
The spiders are all accomplished weavers, Your Majesty.
It nods up at all the, like, webbing between the trees.
But there are specifically two, I think, of who are especially accomplished stylists.
Oh, wonderful. Would you take me to them?
Oh, of course, Your Majesty.
He hops along, leading you down one of the paths in the forest to a hollowed out tree, quite large.
Now that I think about it, I've never seen where the spiders live.
You know that a lot of them live up in and among the trees?
That's sort of what I assumed.
But this particular one is a large hollowed out tree. He hops inside easily, but the opening is barely large enough for you.
Okay.
To squeeze your way through.
I'm going to try anyway.
Okay, yeah.
Does your butt get stuck?
No, not like you, Winnie the Pooh.
The inside is much more spacious than it looks on the outside.
Huh.
It is fey space. But it is very cozy and well lit, and there are two spiders inside. One is working on this old sewing machine. Well, I suppose it'd be considered quite modern.
For us, it's pretty
new. The latest.
Wow, so technologically advanced.
Yeah, no, it has like, you know, one of those pedals that you have to constantly be pushing up and down.
Is it one of those that's actually like built into the table
yes.
that it's on? Oh.
Yep. And he's
so modern.
He's working with a dozen different spools of thread, using all of his legs to just intricately work them into the fabric that he is currently sewing.
Wow.
His legs are doing almost as much work as the machine. And the other is draping a dress form with silk.
Your Majesty, this is Edward and his husband, Waylon.
Oh, perfect! Perfect! Which one is Edward and which one is Waylon? Oh
my God. Edward is draping the dress form and Waylon is at the sewing machine. But upon you entering, they both stop what they're doing and bow very deeply. Which, for spider folk, just consists of, like, lowering their thorax almost completely to the ground while raising their abdomen up into the air.
It's a butt salute.
Yeah.
And I've seen this many times, so I know what it is.
Your Majesty, to what do we owe this honor?
Well, gay spiders.
This whole place is gay.
Yeah.
This whole podcast is gay.
Yeah, good, good, good. Well, I look down at my, you know, my SpongeBob pajamas. I could use some freshening up. I need a new look.
Edward immediately skitters over to you using four of his legs to measure you with two different measuring tapes.
Nice.
Waylon starts taking down the draping that had been on the dress form and is, like, skittering up to the walls to various shelves and cupboards, taking down different supplies.
This would be weird if it weren't perfectly normal.
Edward, as he's continuing to measure you with just like every angle with two different measuring tapes.
Well, darling, what sort of new look are you looking for?
Well, I've been somewhat out of sorts lately because... But you know what? It doesn't matter.
No, explain it.
Okay, so she actually has to think for a moment because, of course, she came here having no idea exactly what kind of look she wanted, just that she was tired of looking busted. But she thinks back to Sarastra and how sharp and confident and polished she looked. So I use Minor Illusion to create a image of the way that the Queen of Night and Magic had been dressed when she was in my realm moments ago. Something like this, perhaps?
Your Majesty, if I may, the Queen of Night and Magic might take offense if you were to copy her look.
Yes, of course.
Something inspired by the Queen of Night and Magic, then? In color or silhouette?
Silhouette. I don't think I would look so good in those dark colors, at least not the way she does.
And also at this point, Waylon has started taking fabric swatches and holding them up first, like your hair, then your skin, then different parts of your skin, just to see how the colors look against you in various spots.
Hmm. Again, this would be very strange if it wasn't perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm. As the spiders are continuing to go about their work, Reginald gives kind of a nervous cough.
On the subject of our recent visit from the Queen of Night and Magic.
Oh yeah, wasn't that fun?
Your Majesty, I do not mean to offend, but may I speak frankly?
Of course.
As your advisor, I feel you might have been speaking a little freely.
What do you mean?
The Queen of Night and Magic, well, gracious, is an extremely powerful fairy lord.
Well, yes, of course. And she's so nice. I didn't expect her to be nice. I don't know what I expected. I should have expected her to be nice. After all, when she visited me in that dream, she was very nice. Maybe I thought she'd be different in real life.
Your Majesty.
Oh, maybe not real life. Is the Feywild world real life? Does the Feywild world count as real life?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Oh, because it's just fantasy.
She did seem very pleasant while she was here, Your Majesty.
Oh, I thought so too.
However, there were a few issues that I happened to overhear that caught my concern.
Oh?
Specifically in the amount of information that you were sharing about yourself and your kingdom.
Like what?
Speaking frankly again, Your Majesty, the issue of your pregnancy and the strategic state of your realm were two key issues that caught my attention.
Oh. Well, and as he's talking, Celine does remember all of the things that she gave away for free to the Queen of Night and Magic, and also remembering how Reginald had cautioned her against telling everything, everyone, everything about herself, and even remembered that the Queen of Night and Magic also said, don't tell people everything about yourself. And she winces a little bit. Okay, but the Queen of Night and Magic and I are sisters. Perhaps not directly, but truly, actually sisters. So surely the rules must be different for family.
Yes, indeed, Your Majesty, but not in the direction you're thinking.
Oh?
Siblings among Fey Lords, while not common, are certainly not unheard of. In most cases, there is one that is favored, set to be the inheritor of power of their sire, or...
Well, that would be ours, then, because she inherited all of the Queen of Night and Magic. Well, the previous Queen of Night and Magic's title, realm, even her name.
Yes. And in such cases, the other sibling, usually, schemes and plots to steal or otherwise deny that power from their sibling.
Well, I'm not going to do anything like that. I don't think I could even scheme to take a pebble out of her realm.
Probably, but that is certainly something that she would have been looking for in her visit.
Oh, well then she should be assured that that's not the case, right?
Yes, in which case we get to the other type of sibling relationship, in which the more powerful one, figuratively or literally, consumes the less powerful.
You think she's planning to eat me?
I do not know, Your Majesty, and that is why I am suggesting caution.
Oh. Celine looks, concerned?
And that doesn't begin to cover when there are more than two siblings. Entire lines have vanished among sibling wars and rivalries.
Oh?
As you've been talking, Wayland is running, like, several brushes through your hair, which, despite your best efforts to try and contend with before Sarastra got there, is still like pretty
bad. Oh, it's bad. It's pretty bad. The completely forgetting my curly girl routine, just big matted mess.
Yeah, but Wayland is very gentle and you hardly feel anything.
Oh.
But the most famous example of fairy sibling rivalry would be the twins, Mab and Titania.
The Queen of Night and Magic and I are certainly not Mab and Titania.
I agree. Either of you are as powerful.
Or as violent, or as...
You know, you're pretty fucking violent.
Shut up, you're not here. You're busy with your own bullshit.
I agree, Your Majesty. But I still advise caution. Your situation may be unique, but she is very powerful and very old. Even though you may consider her your sister, she is millennia your senior.
I mean, I know that, but she also cautioned me about giving too much of my own business away. But why would she do that if she also wasn't concerned?
I am speculating, Your Majesty, but it could be that she wanted to isolate you and ensure that she was the only one with that information.
Celine is thinking, oh yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
And I am also fairly concerned about the flora that she added to your realm.
Oh, you mean the lilac man?
I am less concerned about that, Your Majesty, as they were given as a gift in the tradition of no attachments or expectance of reciprocation.
Yes, she did say that. I guess he needs a name, doesn't he? I can't keep calling him the Lilac Man.
Whatever you choose to that, Your Majesty. But I was speaking more of the mushrooms that the Queen of Night and Magic graciously added to your realm.
Celine again sees a sense in this. Keep an eye on them, will you? Well, I'd say make sure they don't do anything strange, but make sure they don't do anything that you deem suspicious.
In anticipation of your directive, Your Majesty, I have already assigned several of my most trusted mice.
Oh, wonderful. Also, keep an eye on the Lilac Man, because apparently he might start screaming.
Nope.
Talia's already noped out of that shit.
I'm not here, sorry.
Yeah, you're going to love him. He's going to be your best friend.
Nope.
I have actually assigned a pixie, and they have made a nest on it. Them? On it. They have made a nest on them, so that they will always be with it. Them.
Celine also looks confused. I suppose if they wake up and start screaming, that we could ask them, between screams, if they could tell us what their pronoun is.
Yes.
If they do wake up and start screaming, would you have the pixie ask that?
Of course.
Wonderful.
As you've been talking, the spiders have continuously been working directly on you, but, like, so deftly that you've barely noticed or had to, like, break concentration
from
Reginald.
Yeah, honestly, again, this would be weird if it weren't totally normal.
Also, at some point, they removed your other clothing, is just now folded aside on a chair. And it's at this point that Wayland just pushes a mirror up in front of you.
And I catch sight of myself.
What you see is this light lavender, double-breasted suit coat.
Ooh.
High collar that shows off your crow's skull right at your throat. On top of a billowy off-white cravat.
Wow.
The suit coat itself, the sleeves cut off just below elbow length, transitioning down into long fingerless gloves.
Ooh.
Below the suit coat is a ruffled skirt that is quite short for movement.
Okay. Good.
The fingerless gloves and the knee-high boots are of the same dark gray material. And while you're certain all of this is spider silk, it is varying in weight and texture.
Wow. Is it comparable to any sort of material that's on the material plane? Like, does it feel like silk or polyester?
Is it breathable?
The suit coat and skirt are definitely breathable. The gloves and boots, while they are definitely the same color, they are not the same material. They don't feel like the same material. The boots have a thickness and weight consistent with leather.
Okay.
Whereas the gloves have more of a refined linen texture.
Ah, okay. What about my hair? What did Wayland do with my hair and all of his brushes?
So Wayland had brought it back and up into a tight bun at the back.
Oh.
Leaving your bangs up front, just gently framing your face.
Ah.
And as a finishing touch, Wayland whips around a half cape with a pauldron of that same grayish material and affixes it to your shoulder.
Fancy. I'm not here. Fancy.
I look so good. This is spectacular. I turn back to Edward and Waylon.
You flatter us, Your Majesty.
Would the two of you object to being appointed as my royal stylists?
They share a look.
Big time.
Fuck yeah! Score!
We would be most deeply honored, Your Majesty.
Then consider it done. I'm still looking at myself in the mirror like, oh hey, good looking. You don't look like you've been depressed for the past 2 weeks at all. So as I'm admiring myself, I do realize that I've lost track of time and I haven't been telling time what to do, which a lot of time when I'm here in the Feywild, I do kind of mentally check in with time like, hey, behave. I haven't been doing that at all. So, I'm going to take out my pocket watch. What time is it?
It's about 1:30.
That tells me nothing.
Does it have a PM and an AM?
No. Of course not.
You think it might be the next day.
Okay. Then I am going to say goodbye to Edward, Waylon, and Reginald. Mm-hmm. And as quickly as I can without being rude, I'm going to go back to the door.
Okay.
What time is it?
It's PM.
Okay.
1:30 PM.
I look at the newspaper. What's the day?
The next day.
Okay. That was scary.
We get the newspaper?
We do now.
No, okay.
We need to, so that when I come back through the door after being in the Feywild for a while and forgetting that time exists, to right, check the date.
So Talia is at the kitchen table drinking some coffee, looking very relaxed, but concerned.
Okay, I burst through the door, like just short of kicking the door in. What time is it?
It's 1:30.
What day is it?
It's the next day.
The next day from what?
From the full moon? Wow, look at you.
Oh yeah, and I remember that, yeah, I do look pretty good, eh? Oh, do you like it?
I love it.
Especially because the last time you saw me, I was going through the door.
You looked like a mess.
I was going through the door with my depression bun and my SpongeBob PJs.
Yeah, you look like hot garbage.
Yeah, now I look like hot garbage.
Yeah.
But not garbage, without the garbage. Now I just look hot.
Yeah. You do look great. Where'd you get all this?
So apparently the two spiders in my realm are really good at sewing. They did this in like 20 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Feywild stuff. You look good. You look lighter.
Yeah, I feel lighter.
I'm glad.
I actually had a visitor in the realm of Pale Shadows.
Oh?
And Celine looks kind of almost proud, like excited. The Queen of Night and Magic.
Talia was raising her cup of coffee to drink it and then stops. Puts it back down very deliberately and looks at Celine.
Everything's okay. Everything's fine.
The Queen of Night and Magic.
Yes.
She came to visit.
Yes.
And you're all right.
Yes, actually. It was nice. It was nice to talk to someone about everything. Especially, you know, me and my realm. Especially me. Especially my realm and my powers.
Yeah, I'm not too good about that sort of thing, am I?
And you know what else?
What?
You know who a father is?
The Moonlit King?
No. The Undertaker.
The Undertaker?
Yeah. My dad is her dad.
So...
Like, really. Like, really, the Undertaker is her dad. And my dad. Well, you knew that he was my dad, but I now have found out that he's her dad, too. Do you know what that makes us?
Related.
Sisters.
Close. But I guess time... Okay. So, alright. So you... Hang on. I'm processing this.
I've never had a sister before.
Okay, hang on. Okay, so Sarastra and...
As a Queen of Night and Magic.
The first one. And the Undertaker. So, did the current have kids? Or is that... Did they make two?
I don't think the current one had kids.
Okay, so... The original Queen of Night and Magic and the Undertaker had two children.
They must have?
Well, if you're sisters, then yeah. Otherwise, she would be your, like, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so... And you're okay, though. She's cool?
Yeah, she's great, actually. Gave me some really good advice. Gave me some perspective, and she's really annoyed that we didn't get titles for destroying the glass palace.
Like fey titles?
Yes. Apparently she has over 600 titles, and she's very insulted on our behalf that we didn't get one for smashing the crystal, or defeating the Lich of Ansonius, or destroying the glass palace, or all of the other legendary things that we've done.
All right, I like her already.
Oh, well, you'll get to meet her when you go to the Bear King's feast with me. Celine's smiling like she knows something that you don't.
Honey, I wasn't invited.
But you weren't forbidden.
What does that mean?
It means, according to the Queen of Night and Magic, if the Bear King did not expressly forbid you from coming to his feast, then there's no reason that you cannot come as my plus one.
And I won't be removed?
No, you won't be removed. Well, not directly. You will most likely, though, have to fight his bears.
His bears or his bears?
Yes, his bears. That's what I said.
So I just have to fight the bears and I get into the party?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that's so...
See, I'm so glad she stopped by because I... We should have known. We should have known that if he didn't say, oh, you may not come.
How are we supposed to know that? We don't know anything about the Feywilds.
Well, I'm supposed to know at least a little bit.
You're new to this.
Yeah, but... And Celine looks... She was looking really excited about this, and suddenly it looks like maybe a little rain cloud.
What?
Well, after the Queen of Night and Magic left, and after I was being, she gestures to herself, styled, Reginald brought some things up with me that make a lot of sense, actually. And see, he's been cautioning me to play my cards close to my chest.
Which I agree.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've been in such a mood lately, or I was just excited to be able to talk to someone who's literally related to me, literally my sister. I guess I revealed a bit more than I should have. But I see where Reginald is coming from. I really do. And looking back on it, yeah, I probably shouldn't have told her about the goings-on of my realm or the fact that I'm pregnant or anything. But it just felt so... Why are you giving me that look?
Keep going.
It just felt so natural and it felt so nice to have a sister, a big sister to talk to. You know, I always hear about people and their older siblings and their source of sage advice for them and someone they can lean on, and it just, it... Anyway, he made some very good points and brought up some things that I hadn't thought of. And I guess I don't really know what to think. Again.
Can I put my two cents in?
Of course.
I don't disagree with Reginald. Maybe you shouldn't have announced to someone we don't know, despite the family connection.
I don't like how you're saying these things.
That you were pregnant.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think you give yourself enough credit for your instincts. Your instincts are usually pretty good. They usually are. Sometimes they get pretty clouded when your emotions are involved, but for the most part, I think you have pretty good instincts. And having one other person in the Feywild that's on our side can't be a bad thing. Especially someone of that power, apparently. Just, I guess, be cautious. Don't be stupid.
Well,
but, I don't know, let yourself trust someone.
Reginald hasn't led me astray yet, but...
And I think you should take his advice. Just be careful what you say from now on. But don't shut out a relationship, I guess. I don't know, maybe I'll agree with Reginald completely when I meet her at the ball, but until then, I don't know. It's kind of poetic, actually. I find a member of my family, you find one of yours.
Oh, shit! What happened with Connor? How'd it go?
It went.
Oh, no.
No, he's fine. It.
How many pieces is he in?
He's... Not in any pieces.
How many pieces are other people in?
No one. We didn't encounter anybody. We didn't even encounter any animals either.
Okay.
He didn't hurt anybody. He's fine. He's just... His shift. Oh my God, Celine. I can barely describe it. It was absolutely horrific. I can't even imagine how much that hurt. It's like the wolf in him, Wolf Connor,
and Connor aren't talking to each other. Like, they can't connect. So when a shift happens because he can't control it, it's like he's fighting it the whole time. And the result is this malformed thing.
Gods.
It's barely a wolf. God, it was like watching somebody get tortured. I can't. Once he shifted all the way, it looked uncomfortable as hell, but he was all right. He just looked like he was in pain most of the time. But the actual shift, God, if he would have told me that's what happens.
Maybe he didn't remember.
I get why he doesn't want to shift.
If it's as painful as you're describing it, then yeah.
I mean, once he became a wolf, it was... It sounds weird to say, it was pretty standard. He acted very much like a wolf, but there was no recognition of Connor. There was just Wolf Connor. They are totally separate entities at this point.
Does that happen sometimes?
It can, but that's usually the result of... Usually when that happens, it's because someone was turned by force, which is, as much as people like to say, happens a lot, is very rare. It takes a lot to turn someone. Like, a lot. And they go through a process. So to have that happen on accident, like, the stars must have fucking aligned for that to happen. But that can happen. And in that case, there's no prep. None whatsoever. So you just have somebody who...
You're forced into it. Literally, your body is forced into it.
Exactly. So... The mortal part of your mind just retreats. It doesn't know what to do with itself because an animal mind is now coming to the surface, and instead of integrating like we're taught to, it just appears and you don't know what to do with it. So the wolf comes out and acts like a wolf, and most of the time that wolf gets scared. It doesn't know where it is. It's suddenly in, like, forced out, and God, the amount of pain.
Celine's been nodding as you've been describing this. Yes, that makes sense. He might have been born a lichen, but he's been forced into it for 5 years.
Yeah, he's had no training whatsoever. It's a little easier for those that are born into it, because the wolf mind, it's not a separate entity, is what I'm getting at. Like, we aren't born with a wolf inside of us. She puts up quotations. Like, there's no extra personality in there. It is literally just animal instincts that we are born with, but are separate from us in a way until we shift for those instincts to come up. But if you're born that way, they're integrated a lot easier. And we learn from a very young age how to integrate those seamlessly so that when we do first shift, it might be a shock, but it's not a new feeling. It's always, like, it's just a part of ourselves that has always been there. It's like fucking puberty.
Yeah, but if you're forced into a box and forced to shift during some very formative years of your life, then it goes to reason that those two sides of yourself could be wrenched apart. Far apart.
Exactly. And I think that's what's going on. Connor and Wolf Connor, for lack of a better word, aren't even remotely on the same page. They are totally separate entities from each other, which is... And Connor's anger can't get past the wolf's fear.
Well, if anyone can help him, it's you.
I don't know how. I've never...
I don't think anyone has.
My father would be able to. Alphas are supposed to help their pack. But I don't know what to do. I don't know even where to start.
I know. But you'll figure it out. I mean it.
I know. And I appreciate your optimism.
It's not optimism, it's faith.
I'll think of something. I just...
I guess I wish I had an older sibling I could talk to.
I should probably ask the Undertaker about that.
Probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
He's never mentioned it, but... I don't know. No, I should definitely ask him about it.
I mean, you're gonna ask anyway, so...
It's true.
Like, you know, you could say, oh, I shouldn't ask about it, and you're just gonna ask.
I know, I'll be like, I'm not going to ask, and then I'm going to ask.
Yeah, you're nosy that way.
I am.
But in a good way?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Would a new outfit make you feel better? Because I've got two royal stylists now that could get you a new outfit.
Well, if I'm going to the ball, I suppose I need something more fancy.
Oh, so will I. Especially because I won't be able to wear this for very long, will I?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I have royal stylists now. It shows I can come up with something in another 20 minutes.
What are we going to do about you being pregnant at the ball, though?
Oh, you know, the Queen of Night and Magic had an idea about that, too.
Oh?
And explain a little bit about fairy godparents.
Talia's aware vaguely of that.
Yeah. So I elaborate a little bit and relay some of the things that the Queen of Night and Magic told me about them. So what I think we should do, and the Queen of Night and Magic sort of came up with this, but I think it would be fun. I think we should have a dueling tournament.
A dueling tournament?
Yes.
For a fairy godparent.
For the honor of being named my child's fairy godparent.
Our child?
Yes, that's what I...
Yeah. Okay. I'm not against it.
Good!
But I do have a caveat.
Oh?
Whoever you're dueling for this, I want to approve of them. I don't want some random fae going, I'm gonna duel you, and then we're attached to him for the rest of forever.
And Celine gets a disgusted look on her face. Or someone that we do know.
Yes. So my only caveat for all of this is I have to approve of your dueling partner.
Celine is nodding along.
I mean, I'm sure you'll have many dueling partners, but I need to be able to say yes or no.
I agree. I'm completely in agreement with this caveat.
All right. Then you have my blessing, as it were.
Oh, wonderful. I should get started planning right away.
So... Talia, later that day, you see Connor outside in the outer area of the house.
Right, yeah.
Backyard by the pool. He's just sitting there, just kind of looking over the faux waterfall and all that, just sort of staring out into nothing.
Talia comes up next to him. Hey, how you feeling?
He starts a little bit when you say hi.
Sorry.
Just... I was lost in thought. You can tell, though, that he's weirdly anxious.
Are you okay?
I feel on edge. I feel like weak.
Vulnerable.
He nods.
That's common, actually. It happens sometimes when we become something with claws and teeth and something that's able to defend itself, and then shifting back into something with less claws and teeth. It can leave you feeling like you're a...
Nervous wreck?
Something like that, but it's pretty common. It takes some getting used to. You did really well.
I didn't hurt anything.
You didn't hurt anybody. You didn't hurt any animals. I don't want to say you were fine, because you definitely didn't look fine.
I don't remember. I remember pain and anger and just flashes. Not a whole lot.
I think I know what's going on.
Yeah?
I'm not shocked. You don't want to shift. It looks... I think what's happening is between your anger and the wolf's fear, I don't think that it's allowing either of those two parts of yourself to communicate. We're taught early on how to interact with the instincts. But that's not something you were taught. So I think there's a hang-up somewhere
between you being angry and your wolf being afraid, that there's a block. And that's mostly all mental. So if we could figure out a way for those two things to not get rid of, but at least interact.
Figure out a way. As in, you have no fucking idea.
I think that's the root cause. I've never...
Great. Okay. So what we learned then is basically nothing. I already knew I was scared and angry. I can't turn those feelings off, Talia.
I know, Connor. I'm not asking you to. I don't know. The way I learned and the methods that I learned aren't...
You keep going on about what you learned, how you learned. I didn't learn the way you learned. I can't learn the way you learned, Talia.
I know. That's what I'm saying, is they're not working, so... We just need to figure out a way to calm the rage. I also had an issue with rage.
You know nothing about figure out a way. I need this fixed, Talia. You said you were able to, you showed you were able to keep it in line. And you stopped it or kept it from hurting anything last night. And why is this so hard? Why?
Me forcing you to calm down is not going to help you in the long run. I know you're disappointed. I know. I can't even begin to imagine.
You know something I can't even begin to imagine, Talia? Is the fucking gall you have. Oh, family this, pack that. You talk and talk about how you want to help and how we'll figure something out when you have one of fucking them in this house constantly.
What?
I can smell him all over this fucking house. The things he did to us. The things he did to you and the pack. And you let him in here. His kind of nervous posture has shifted into that steel coiled wire. I've read through those books, Talia. I know the kinds of things that Jane was taught to do to us.
I know. But that's... James gave up that life a long time ago, Connor. He's been trying to be a better person. He's been making amends.
Making amends. Great, great. How has that gone for the pack?
That's not fair, Connor.
Fair. Sure. Like the law, I guess. Of course, he's position of fucking power in the militia. And he was head of the DMP, wasn't he? Why did I think it would be any different than District 3? The people enforcing the law are just as corrupt as those breaking it. What part of his conscience is he trying to soothe by being a part of that? What are you fucking trying to prove? And suddenly there's a pop snap as that steel tautness breaks and you see his spine writhe as the shift starts.
She doesn't put the force behind it yet. Connor, calm down.
Don't touch me.
Connor, calm down.
He flinches away from you and that bright yellow in his eyes starts to fade away. He just puts his hand, like, up in a get away from me gesture and takes several steps back.
Connor, please.
We are not family. Not where it matters. And we sure as fuck aren't pack.
Talia looks like she's been shot. And tears start falling down her face.
Connor is just standing, an accusing claw pointing out to you. But as he sees the tears stream down your face, all of the strength and tension from that anger is just drained away. Talia.
She turns around and walks out of the house. She doesn't say a word. The door clicks quietly behind her.
He takes like a half step after you, but just falters. Stupid. Stupid. He just sits down hard on the ground and just puts his head in his hands.
You hear the sound of a tree rustling by the pool?
He pauses for a second and then just kind of peeks upward from underneath his hands.
You see Celine slowly floating down from one of the branches in the tree near the back corner of the yard. The expression is unreadable to you.
How long have you been there?
Long enough. She walks over to where Connor is sitting and sits down next to him.
He is not looking at you. I know I fucked up. I fucked up.
And you can, even though you're not looking at Celine, you can feel her nodding.
And I have been such a pain in the ass since I got here.
Yeah, you have. She shifts a little bit closer to you. But I don't think anyone blames you. What you went through was beyond imagination. It's going to affect you. Even if that means lashing out sometimes.
His hair is kind of like fallen in front of his face and he turns his head sideways to look at you. Are you saying that when you saved me, you expected I would be an asshole?
I smile.
He puts his head back in his hands. I'm not trying to be. I swear I'm not. Everything that you and Talia have done for me, I don't think I'll ever be able to thank you.
And Celine opens her mouth to say something, but then realizes she was about to say something about being family and reconsiders. I can make you do dishes while you're here if you're that worried about it. Jarvis will thank you for the sake of his nails, since he usually gets stuck with that jar when he gets into trouble and is stupid enough about it to get caught. And then he bitches about for the next hour about how it ruined his top coat. I told him just get a better top coat. I hold my hands. You never see me with a fucked up top coat, do you?
He just sits in silence for a moment.
I also sit in silence. Just letting the quiet settle between us.
I need this to be fixed. Gestures kind of vaguely at himself. This to be fixed. I need Talia to stop looking at me like I'm a scared animal. I'll just bolt at the slightest provocation. I also need that to not actually be true. I need to feel safe again. I need
control.
Yeah.
I look over at him. You need control over your life and body. That's not something you've ever had.
Just another moment of quiet before Connor just lets out this ragged sob and tears just start streaming down his face.
I hesitantly raise a hand and touch his arm.
He flinches away.
I let it drop back down to my lap. I just let him cry for a bit. And as he calms down some, at the risk of trying to relate to you, both Talia and I know what it means to feel and be out of control. Talia has always had exquisite control as a wolf. Even when she became a druid, her anger, her rage, that was something she struggled with. There were times it made her single-minded. She would do anything to further her goals. Damn the consequences. I started out trapped in a situation that I fled from. Then I had to learn what it meant to be a fae. How much of that nature is driving me, or how much I could even indulge in it before it consumed me. Our experiences don't relate to the trauma that you experienced, but we can both relate to feeling out of control.
I just want to feel like me. God, that doesn't even make sense because I don't know what me feels like anymore. Ever since my first shift in Breakpeak, I've never felt real.
Celine nods. There's not much that we can do about those pesky lineage. Just how to live with them.
I know that. I'm not an idiot.
Celine lifts her brow. Really? Oh no, you're just an asshole.
Sorry.
Honestly, you're in good company, yeah? Celine leans back a little. Everyone here is a bit of an asshole. Some of us more than others.
I just feel like whatever I do, it's going to hurt someone.
Talia said you didn't hurt anyone last night.
No, but I hurt her just now. Even if I force myself to keep my stupid mouth shut, I think I am going to hurt her.
Talia's made of strong stuff. She can handle quite a lot, I assure you.
Connor's just quiet for a moment. What would you do if you knew you had to do something, but doing it would mean you would break someone's heart?
Celine winces.
But if you didn't do it, it would break yours.
Ooh. Ow.
Ow.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Celine is quiet for a long few moments. Closes her eyes. I've had to make that choice before. Almost exactly. And I did break someone's heart.
He turns and looks at you. Do you regret it?
Yes. She opens her eyes. But not because I did it. Just how I went about it. I was young and scared of what would happen if I told him what I wanted and what his reaction would be. I couldn't bear to see the pain it would have caused him. But I knew that if I didn't do it, I would break apart. I wish I would have talked to him. I wish I could have been brave enough to endure the pain that it caused. She wipes at one of her eyes. But I don't regret my freedom or the life that I lived. I don't regret Talia or my children or my powers or even my heritage, learning that I was fey. I did what was best for me. And as much as I regret how I went about it, she shakes her head. I can't regret the outcome of my life.
Connor looks back down towards the pool, his 1,000-yard stare, thinking, I'm going to hurt her. I don't want to, but...
Well, are you going to murder someone or permanently maim anyone?
What? No.
Jump off the mesa?
No.
Because if you did, I'd come with you.
No. What?
How about stealing an airship and awakening an army of the undead to lead into the astral plane to hunt the Starwells? She looks at you with that kind of unhinged fairy look in her eye.
What? How? No.
And that look softens. Then do what you need to do to feel like you. Talia will understand. Even if it hurts, she will understand. Be brave, Connor.
Something about that, something about those words just causes something in him to break. And he just starts sobbing.
I, again, put my hand on his shoulder.
You feel him tense a little bit, but he doesn't pull away.
And I just let him cry.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Feywild West presented by Let's Be Legendary Podcast. If you're enjoying our story, please take a moment to leave a rating and review. Every little bit helps. If you want to go the extra mile, we have a Patreon with early episodes and behind-the-scenes extras. Audio producer, assistant editor, and dungeon master is Molly Hexcroft, pronouns she, her. Writer, audio producer, and the voice of the Queen of Night and Magic is Jess Richards, pronouns they, them. Art director, audio assistant mixer, and voice of Celine Argent Gray is Migsy Sass Council, pronouns she, her. Executive producer, creative director, audio editor and mixer, community manager, and voice of Talia Argent Gray is Chris Sass Council, pronouns they, them. Social media links and credits for both music and sound effects can be found in the show notes. Celine's tarot deck is the Marigold deck by Amrit Esperar, and the tarot guide used in game can be found at biddytarot.com. Thanks again for listening, and stay legendary.